Welcome to the Volley Pod, where we're all about coaching kids volleyball. With drills, skills, and scenarios, we keep things fast, fun, and effective. Presented by the Art of Coaching Volleyball, the Volley Pod is your new source for coaching information. Good morning and welcome to the Volley Pod with your hosts, Davis Ransom and Todd Maddox. How are you today, Todd?
Davis, I'm excited. I'm excited for another episode with you. I get to sharpen my coaching skills. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, our goal is to get this information out quick. So let's get to it. Today, what are we teaching?
Oh, my favorite, attacking arm swing. This one, I think it's the most mistaught skill as I walk around and look in different gyms. I really see some things that can be improved when we teach this skill. And I've made mistakes for probably 25 years. And now my newest analogy is, would you ever see, you know, I'm playing a bunch of tennis now.
Okay.
I'm a tennis guy. So have you ever seen anyone practice their tennis serve by warming up their arm to hit the ball under the ground, into the ground?
Absolutely not. Makes no sense.
But every volleyball gym you go into.
Yep.
And, you know, my kids, if I let my high school kids, if they had their way, they would hit balls into the ground for the first half hour practice.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's sure. Crazy. So anyway, I think this skill is super, super important. And I think I've used keys over the years that have hurt players rather than helped them. I'll get into that in a minute. Okay. And then the greatest thing about this skill is it's accessible. Everybody wants to spike.
Yeah.
So there's some motivation from players to learn how to use their arm swing and make it fast and make it fun. So cool. We'll get started. The first idea I have is the idea that reach and snap have been the worst words that I ever used to teach this skill. And I never use those again. So when I hear coaches or parents or people yell, reach, reach, oh no, you got to snap. I'm thinking, oh no, I used to use those. And I think those are horrible. So why are they horrible? Well, I think we have to talk a little bit about spin, about topspin.
Okay.
And I don't know a lot of the physics, but I'm a tennis guy. And I know that to put topspin on the ball, I need my racket head to move from low to high.
Right.
And so when I put topspin on a volleyball, I need my hand to move from low to high on contact. And that's going to impart topspin. So that's key. And if I reach, if my arm is straight, then I can't go low to high because then my shoulder becomes the lever and I want my elbow to become the lever so I can go low to high. So
that's a great point.
And then if I snap, once again, I'm not going low to high. If we think of a quarterback or we think of a pitcher, nobody's telling them to snap wrists. Snapping your wrist is a logical consequence of moving your arm in a certain direction. Your wrist is going to snap because it's just loose and it's going to do it on its own. I see these players trying to snap their wrist and it just has their, everything's just out of whack because they're trying to snap their wrist. And you don't need to snap your wrist. You just swing at the ball and the wrist will do it itself.
Right.
You don't need to do anything. So let's talk about the keys.
Yep.
For me, the first one is what we call sight 90. And that is if I'm a right-hander, I'm going to sight the ball with my left hand in front of my right shoulder. Once again, I'm hiding my logo, my shirt logo. So my shoulders are back and I get this sight with my left hand.
What do you mean by hiding your logo?
Okay. Hiding my logo is a nice key that I use for not facing where I'm hitting. So
okay.
If I have a logo on my shirt and we're hitting over the net back and forth, if I pull my arm back and get sideways to you, then you can't see the logo on my shirt. And that guarantees that my arm is back.
I see. Trying to get some torque.
I need torque. Yep. I need to get that. I need to get my arm back. So that's hiding the logo. So I'm sighting the ball with my left hand.
Love it.
My right arm now is at 90 degrees.
Okay.
From, you know, my elbow and forearm, make that 90 degree angle. And that's my first key, just sight 90.
Okay. Okay.
The next key is a tough one. It's elbow lead. And that means I have to go from that sight 90 position, relax my shoulder, and now get my elbow in front of my wrist. A lot of players make the mistake here of just extending and starting to reach from that sight 90. And we don't want to do that. We want to actually stay in 90 and get the elbow in front of the wrist. And then from there, I call that the waiter position.
Yep.
Okay. So if I'm carrying a tray of glasses and I'm carrying it above my head, I have my elbow in front of my wrist and I have my palm up in the air because I have to balance that tray. So I'm really getting into this waiter position. The other key word I'm using now is, hey, your hand is a shelf. We want the ball to hit, the shelf of your hand.
I like that.
And flat. Exactly.
Flat, not extended all the way, elbow straight, elbow bent, going upwards with the hand. Yeah,
okay. But that palm is up.
Palm up.
Whenever I ask players, I say freeze. I say do an arm swing and freeze on contact. Their hand will be pointed down. And I want that hand pointed up. I want that shelf. So once again, we go sight 90, elbow lead. And then the last key is lift and whip. So they're just throwing the hand up into the ball and just relaxing and lift and whip. The wrist will snap on its own. I don't need to do anything myself to try to get that to happen. A couple other things. We want to make sure that move, that low to high move is quick. That'll impart spin. And then when I start out in sight 90, my left shoulder is actually higher than my right shoulder. So there's an angle to my shoulders with my left higher. And then when I lift and whip, that'll change. Now my right shoulder will be higher on contact. And that gives me more topspin because I'm going low to high. I'm going with my elbow and I'm going with my shoulders. I have that shoulder level changes. So those are the keys.
I like it. There's a lot of great stuff in there. That's really awesome. One of the things I just want to reinforce is this idea of the elbow being the key lever. I think we got so many kids with sore shoulders, and it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to happen if we're using the elbow correctly. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. Well, so what we've done, if we get into, and we'll get into this maybe a little bit later, but let's talk about it right now. And that is the idea of troubleshooting a little bit. If we have the kids not using their elbow and their elbow is straight, what is their remedy to get the ball over the net? The remedy is a simple one. The remedy is run under the ball and hit it behind you. Now, when the ball's behind me, my hand has to face up, and now the ball goes over the net. So the remedy for players who don't use their elbow is to hit it behind them, and that's why we have this issue. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I think the idea of having that straight arm isn't necessarily bad. Doesn't hurt their shoulder because it's straight. It hurts their shoulder because to get it over the net, they have to run under the ball and hit it behind them. And then we have back and shoulder problems.
It's a great point. Now, what do you look for to troubleshoot? We started talking
about this. Let's get into activities and then we'll get into troubleshooting. Yeah. So the first one we do is what we call dummy arm swings. And that doesn't have to do with any IQ. That means they're just dry. We're just doing arm swings, and the player should be able to do arm swings on their own as part of their arm warm-up. Rather than hit balls into the ground, I would rather just do arm swings where they're just doing slow motion arm swings. And then I might say, hey, pause on contact. And then I see their palm up and that elbow bent. And then I'll say, okay, you know, 5 slow motion and then 5 regular speed. And so we just do those dummy arm swings, and I'll go through and look and see what they're doing. A couple things I look at is that sight hand, where that sight arm goes. And I want that sight arm to kind of just be pulled kind of comfortably into the body. I don't want it swinging outside the body because that gets them to over-rotate.
Yep.
And we want it kind of just a comfortable position there. So dummy arm swings is the first. The second one is walls or pairs. Now, the pairs, they'll want to hit balls into the ground. And so I allow them now to hit 3 balls total each into the ground.
Okay.
And the reason hitting into the ground or hitting into the ground against a wall, there are a couple things that are good about that. One good thing is, hey, you can work on hand contact on the ball. That's not a bad thing. The other thing is, to hit the ball down, you have to have the ball in front of you.
Right.
So those are two reasons to hit the ball into the ground. But everything else is horrible because you can have a straight arm. You're not really using your elbow. You're not hitting the ball over the net. And hey, we got to hit the ball over the net in this game. And we have all these hitters who are hitting the ball under the net, the bottom of the net. And I always tell players, hey, there are three planes. There's a plane under the net. There's a plane, there's a net, and a plane that's over the net. Which is the biggest one, Davis? That's my question.
Above the net.
Above the net. Let's hit it into that plane. Let's hit the ball. I'm not a happy camper as a coach when the ball's hit into those other two planes. So dummy arm swings and then wall or pairs work. And we're always working on, can we impart shape and spin? So I don't want the ball anywhere near the tape. Yesterday, we were just talking about a practice. I was coaching a 12s team yesterday as a sub. And they're going, the net's too high, the net's too high. I'm on, no, the net is regulation. Not, it's too high for your team, but that's what we're going to play on because we have to work on hitting the ball higher over the net.
I love that.
And so we don't want to hit balls that are line drives that are hitting the tape. I want to hit ball that looks like a rainbow that has shape and spin. Yes.
I think a lot of athletes think that where they contact the ball, like say they contact the ball at 9 foot, that's where the ball should be crossing the net. Instead, the ball should be crossing the ball above 9 foot because we're hitting the ball upwards, right, with shape.
Exactly. And I think now we even talked about some experienced hitters now who are big jumpers when they're young. And so they can actually hit down. Right. So they never learn to hit with shape. And as soon as the blockers become very big, then those attackers get blocked a lot. And they have a tough time really getting to the next level where they can hit up into the block or they can shape the ball over the block into deep corners.
It's a great point.
So it's for beginners who aren't maybe above the net, but this is an advanced skill as well. Yep. So from dummy to wall or pairs work. And then the third thing is we have a practice series that I do that's actually an 8-minute series. We go 2 minutes. We start with, it's a hit over the net, dig to yourself.
Okay.
So we call it four corners. It's kind of like butterfly with no targets.
Okay.
So we have two lines in right back and they're hitting the ball. Self toss, hit a down ball over the net to the person in left back. That person digs to themselves and catches, goes into the line and we go in a circle. So the first series is hitting right back down the line to left back. The second series, we just switch the line. So now they're hitting in left back to right back. So they're hitting down the line. And then the last two, we actually change the sequence a little bit. They do not go under the net. They just switch sides. Okay. So then one side will have right sides hitting cross court.
Okay.
Right to right, while the other side's going left to left. And then after another 2 minutes, we switch.
Like that. It's a great sequence.
And it's just super simple.
Yeah.
Once again, we start with down ball on all the sequences, and then we can move to self-toss, approach, and hit. You can do it from the back row. You can do it from the front row. But that's a super simple one. And then from there, we just play. We'll play deep court doghouse, and we'll play down ball, deep court doghouse. It's 3-on-3 with a setter. They're hitting down balls from the deep court. They make an error. They go out, chase their ball and go out. A person in the doghouse tosses the ball high to a hitter. So we begin with a down ball.
I like that.
Save my ragged shoulder right now. Doesn't hit any more balls.
They get, some hit, reps, yeah.
They get to hit the ball. And so those are our activities.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really great. And it seems like it's just patterned and they can get a ton of reps in a short period of time.
Yep. And I think it's something that, hey, they can get this feel for shape and spin. And it is funny. Some players just have it naturally. And some players, you got to work and work and work. So let's talk about, you asked about troubleshooting before and most common feedback. So the most common words out of my mouth always are shape and spin. Can we get it with shape and spin? Get it away from the tape? And can you get enough spin so I can't read the name on the ball and all the colors become a blur?
I like that.
Make it a blur. Oh, that's a blur. Did you see that? I couldn't see anything, you know? So
that's a great one.
That shape and spin. I like throw your hand up into the ball.
I love that one too.
And I always say faster, more spin. The third one is interesting. And that is that I think most beginners in any skill. And I think I've mentioned this before on another pod. They prepare late, but they actually play the ball early. So if you think of a beginning setter who can't push the ball high because they go up and meet the ball with straight arms, so the ball only goes 1 foot when they set it, where if they let the ball come down to their forehead, then they can push it higher because they panic and they're early.
Right.
The same thing happens with attackers. They reach up and get their arm straight. They use that. They lose the elbow lever you were talking about.
Interesting.
And so they're too early, and then the ball goes on a line drive and they can't impart shape and spin. Which get back to my feedback, which is I want ball to hand, not hand to ball.
I like that.
So one of the things that we work on in the beginning, we might have them toss the ball high and just let it bounce off their shelf.
That's a really cool idea. And just emphasizing the idea of that elbow wrist, elbow leads the wrist,
yep.
Right? And doing a bunch of activities for that because that's so key to the process.
Yeah. You mentioned that elbow leading the wrist, and that's we call when the wrist leads the elbow, we call that shot putting.
Okay.
And like so that idea of shot putting, players will revert to that to get spin on the ball because it's an easy way to do it. They just push it. Yep. The problem we'll tell them is they can never hit the ball hard that way. So they can't shot put. So we have to get that elbow out in front into that waiter position. And once again, if your hand's in front of your elbow, the tray you're carrying is on the ground with all the glasses on the ground. You got to get that tray up and get that elbow in front of the wrist. So ball to hand. And then the last thing is we got to use all the senses, Davis. We got to hear it. There's a crack.
Oh, I love
it. You got that. You have that sweet arm swing, Davis. Every time the ball hits your hand, I hear this crack. When you're hitting balls, I can hear it across the gym. And so, you know, can we get players who make that solid contact and have that big hand? So I'm saying, hey, can you make it crack? Oh, I heard the crack. There, you got it. So that idea of hearing that sound. So those are my troubleshooting things for arm swing.
I love that. I love how you're really trying to get pointed at external feedback, right?
Crack. I'm trying to get some out of all my body parts stuff. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
It is, but it's super, it's fun process in a sense.
No, it's fun. It's fun to play. You know, yeah. I'm an old English teacher, so playing with language is good. So it's.
I love it. There's a lot to unpack there. And I think there's so much to arm swing. Like you said, it goes from, you know, very beginner skill. Everyone's got to have an arm swing all the way up to the pros who are like really manipulating their arm swing at a high level. And so I'm sure we'll be talking more about this, but I think that's such a great way to get kids started.
Yeah. And this was like an arm swing primer. So this was really the first part. I think we have to do another one where we talk about some advanced skills with arm swing, and you can talk about hitting parts of the ball and do some other things that, you know, the men, I think are a little ahead of the women's game when it comes to kind of manipulating the ball.
Yeah. But if everyone could be hitting the ball high and hard,
yep,
we'd be in pretty good shape, right? So I think we're in a pretty good start with that.
Good.
So,
well, hey, awesome. Let's move on to I'm excited. What's your scenario today? I'm ready to get challenged with a scenario.
All right. So today, here's the scenario. What would you do when you're coaching a team that's brand spanking new to volleyball? And I know you've coached many of these. Right. Well, I think we both have. And first off, highly recommend. Would you agree with that?
Oh, well, they teach me more than that. That's when you start learning, when you go, oh, wait a minute. They don't know this. So wait a minute. I just assume this.
Right. And that was my first point on here is like, if you have a team that's brand new to volleyball, any age, right, it makes you a better coach.
By all means, I agree. Right.
And so I think the scenario of trying to approach a team. So many times we want to coach teams that have already been developed, right? Because it allows us to only have to coach to certain things. This idea that you mentioned, if I thought they knew that, right? They don't know anything. So you got to teach them everything.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, I'm working with a bunch of coaches now. And a lot of them are college players. So, you know, coming out of college. And so that's where their mind is like, hey, I'm going to coach like I was coached in college. I had a good college coach and I'll just coach like that. And then they get this group of kids that never played volleyball. They can't coach like that and be effective.
Right. And so here's the story.
Where do you start? That's what I'm wondering. How do you do it?
Well, before we even get to it, I got a quick story. It was my very, very first coaching experience. I was only 16. I was a senior in high school, and I had only played volleyball since my freshman year. But I started coaching like the littlest kids at the YMCA, like 8 and 9 year olds. And we had practice on the grass the day after Halloween. And you know as well as I do, like, they're sugared up, they're running all around, right? This was so eye-opening to me, because it's like, really, what's important to a team that is beginners, right? And man, they were so excited. It was so funny. I want to touch base on a couple things. First of all, you mentioned this. Let's hook these players, right? I think one of the first goals, besides before teaching them, is to hook them.
How do you do it? How do you hook them?
Well, you do fun stuff.
So do you teach a lot of, we're going to get in a lot of shuffle moves. We're going to shuffle for 20 minutes when we start. A lot of movement.
No. I would say, like, you want to get them interacting with each other, right? The social piece is a really big piece for them, right?
Okay.
You know, 8 and 9 year olds, 10, 11, 12 year olds. It's big for them to interact with each other. And often they're meeting each other for the first time there. So the social piece is fun. I would say do the fun skills, like just toss some balls and let them take a swing at it.
Right? All right. So you get them into spiking early.
Spiking, serving. The kids love to serve, right? So Just let them serve. And if you go too much technique before you hook them, I think you lose them.
Yeah.
You know, and my best friend, Sean Thomas, I think is one of the best at this. Just bring them into the love of the game, right? If you can have them love the game, you have succeeded as a coach for a new team.
So you mentioned the social piece. So when you say, hey, I want them connecting, what specific things are you doing there?
So, I mean, first of all, they got to know each other's name.
Ah, okay.
You know? And so one of the things we'll do is just simply when they're playing the ball to their partner, they'll just call the name of the person they're playing to.
Okay.
Simple stuff. But every practice, we'll do 2 or 3 intervals of where you got to share a little bit of yourself, right? You know, hey, come on in. Everyone share your favorite, you know, pet. You know, that okay. You've ever had, or if you haven't had a pet, what pet would you have? You know, Just stuff, simple stuff like that, because at that age, it really matters. If you start to go, well, you know, you need your arm at 90 degrees and, you know, which is great.
I've been guilty of that. Yeah. I think you're going, yeah, I've seen you coach. I've seen you do that. Yeah, that's me.
Well, no. And I think it's totally a lot of coaches. That's why I'm kind of bringing it
no,
up.
No, that's this is stuff I need to hear.
Well, and it's me too, you know, and you just lose them and you can see their eyes glazing over and they'll probably do it, you know, but will they want to come back? And I guess the other thing is play some volleyball, let them play it out. I would put in some guardrails. Right. And by guardrails, I mean, you know, some things to help them stay on track. Like you have to go for the ball or you know, get into the doghouse. You're off the court.
Okay.
Simple stuff like that. You have to call the ball.
Hey, do you let them catch it all?
I love catching for young players.
So can they do stuff like catch, toss, spike?
Absolutely. And that's one way I think they can play volleyball, quote unquote, without fully playing volleyball, which is kind of impossible for them when they're that
young. Can't do it.
Right. And the other thing I love is this idea of having a lighter ball. You know, you have this cool idea of, you know, for the youngest ones of bringing in an even lighter ball where it doesn't hurt. There's no fear of going for the ball. They can still put spin on it.
Yep.
You know, I love the idea of making the court small, making the ball light, making the net low, making them have fun, you know, all these things. And if I would have brand new teams, and I don't teach a bunch of brand new teams now, but I still do sometimes. I would really want them to know each other, build some relationships, and I would kind of give up some of the teaching to do some more of that stuff. Now, if you don't teach at all, I think that's a mistake as well, you know, but I think just a little bit of teaching sprinkled in with a bunch of fun activities, things I can think of, what we call tennis, you know, over the net, one-on-one, over the net, 2-on-2, but with one contact, pass catch, all these things where they're playing hot potato, you know, hot potato where they catch it and throw it over.
Yeah, okay.
I love it. They're running after, they're reading, you know, they're doing all this really cool stuff. So anyways, that's sort of the scenario. What would you like to add to that? I mean, what do you think with a new brand?
Well,
new
team? I got one more thing that's big for me, and that is and you already mentioned it a little bit, but I'll reinforce it. And that is we have to make sure that we teach the game or we introduce the game in a way that captivates the best athletes.
Oh, I love that.
I think what can happen is if we're stagnant, and let's say in the old days, I might say, oh, we got to pass before we can set and we got to set before we can hit. So we got to start with passing.
Right.
And so we have them standing around and the ball's hitting their platform and their arms are getting red. And I have this just maybe the most dynamic athlete in, you know, as I have maybe, let's say I have the best ninth grade female athlete in the county. And she's sitting next, you know, she's in this clinic next to these players who aren't very athletic at all. When they're doing this passing skill, they're all going to be equal. She's going to look around at these people going, I'm such a better athlete than this. And yeah. But I'm just like them with this skill. This is the wrong sport for me. Yeah. And she'll disappear and never come back. And then mm-hmm. I'll see her playing basketball, you know, in the McDonald's All-American game. And I'll go, we had that kid in volleyball, but I chased her away because I hurt her arms with the passing. Instead of letting her run.
Yep.
The player should know who's the fastest kid. And so try to do some kind of pursuit where you just got to go chase the ball and get it. And so I want the fastest players to know, oh, that's the fastest kid. Yeah, that's the kid who can swing the fastest and hit the ball the furthest. And so things like that, that those kids know that they're going, hey, I can be a good volleyball player because I'm a good athlete.
I love that.
I don't want to lose those kids.
Yeah, and same thing with maybe doing a couple blocks. Right. You know, okay, get up over the net. Hey, oh my gosh, this girl's got her elbows over the net. Yeah. You know, wow. Give her a little, you know, let her stand out, right? As an elite athlete. So I love it. So, you know, some things to think about there for when you're coaching a brand new team. I think it's a great opportunity, even if you're an experienced coach. So let's get back to some of these videos that you have that can demo arm swings.
So we have, I have three that are on the Art of Coaching website and they'll be in the show notes and they'll be accessible. I think one of them is a premium, so I think they'll make that one accessible too, so there won't be a problem.
Cool.
The first one is mine. Okay. Shameless plug. And it just goes through the keys we talked about, the Site 90 elbow lead, lift and whip. And it shows me teaching kids so they can see that. And it's just not the words we had. So that's the first one. The second one I really like, and it's a guy, John Rodriguez. So he's from, he was with Academy Boiler Juniors that's affiliated with Purdue.
Okay.
And those guys, Shondell, that kind of group back there, they do a good job. Absolutely. And so he does this sequence of pairs that's really, really good. So first, the kids, instead of hitting the ball into the ground, they're hitting it to a target that their pair makes. So the target's all high. They put their hands above their head. They have to hit the ball above their target's head. Yeah. Then they'll go low, target down, or actually they have high, medium is in the breadbasket, and then low is down at their ankles.
Okay.
And then they have left and right. And so they have this whole sequence of specific control. And he has this big hand. He says, hey, put your hand on your forehead, shape the ball. So shape that dome, does some cool stuff. He has a whole series. So you'll like that one.
Okay.
And then the third one is another one of mine I do. And it's a player controlled player toss. Player hit down ball and dig a continuous drill. So it's just simple player toss to partner, hit the ball over the net, dig to self and become the tosser, toss, spike over the net, dig to yourself, toss, spike. So those are the three pretty simple ones.
But I think those are great. And they're going to definitely model a lot of the stuff we talked about. Yeah, so
they go right in line with what we had, I think, what we talked about earlier. How about resource?
Okay,
what do you have for me?
So the resource for this week is Better at Beach with Mark Burick. He's got a bunch of cool stuff. Have you heard
of him? I remember Mark Burick. I used to watch him play ABP stuff.
Yeah, he's still a great player, but now he's gotten into coaching and he's got a series on YouTube. I'll put it in the show notes. But what I like about it is it's fun. It's got a bunch of really interesting stuff. He goes over some fundamentals. He's got tips. I mean, he goes over rules, a bunch of fun videos that are sort of, you know, light. And I think it's a great entry point.
It's cool because there's so much stuff out there. It's nice when you've vetted some stuff for me, Davis. That's good. You can, so I don't have to waste all the time just in wild searches and you could go, hey, go to Burick and now I have it. I got to check it out.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what we're hoping to do with these resources is we do a little digging so we can bring up some of the best, the little gems for everyone else, right? So, well, that's it for today. I mean, we had a great pod. We went through a lot of stuff.
Goes fast. It's fun stuff.
Yeah. So we talked about arm swing fundamentals and how to do that and what to look for. We talked about, you know, when you are coaching a brand new team, gave you some videos for people to look for. And we talked about Better at Beach with Mark Burick. So what a fun.
Good pod. Stuff, Davis.
Awesome. We'll see you next time. This has been the Volley Pod presented by the Art of Coaching. Have a good one.
Take care.